Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
Have y'all noticed the seasons around here change? Like, good Lord, every day. I feel good. I took some Zyrtec today, so thank you, baby, for reminding me. But, man, these seasons are crazy. I mean, you're looking at one day, you're looking at a 75 degrees, the next day it's 35, and we wonder what's wrong. But we see them change so quickly in Kentucky. But there are moments in life when things, especially people, can change quickly. One day you're somebody, listen to me, one day you're applauded. One day you matter, the next day you're forgotten and often criticized. Got any Wildcat fans in the house today? You all are the most fickle. I'm a Wildcat fan. You guys are the most fickle people I've ever seen. One day you love your team. They win, and man, we're all up. They're the best team ever in the nation of basketball. As soon as they have a bad day, a bad game. Wait till next year. Let's fire every single person on the team. That's what we do. That's how quickly we change. And you know, people's opinions, listen to me, are ever changing. This is evident in the week that we are celebrating in Palm Sunday, which is this week. And it says the final week of Jesus' life, the Sunday crowd was crying, Hosanna. They were crying praise, but by Friday, they were crying, some of them, crucify him. Yeah. Same season, same city, same people. So what produced that kind of heart change? The title to my message is this, Sunday to Friday crowd. Wow. There was an excitement when Jesus rode into town. There was always excitement when Jesus first rode into town in his ministry. People were being healed. Lives were being changed. And listen what happens in Mark 11. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and they threw their clothes on it. And he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the ground. And others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the ground. Then those who went before and those who followed cried, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. It was not a quiet time. It was a celebration. It's like a city, you know, the NBA championship or a city that wins a championship. They shut the whole place down. Come on, somebody. Y'all have been there. Everybody riding through the streets and there's confetti going everywhere. This was not a small event. This was huge. They lined up the streets. They laid their clothes down. They put leafy branches out in front of him. They shouted, Hosanna! 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 It was a shout of praise. But it was also a cry for help. The people believed that their long-awaited king, their long-awaited Messiah, had finally arrived. You know, there was an excitement. They thought, hey, here he is. This is what we've been waiting for. But listen to this. The problem was, they had the right person, but they had the wrong expectation. They were expecting something totally different. They were expecting a king. They were expecting freedom. They were expecting Rome, freedom from Rome, and power and takeover. It's like a kid at Christmas. You're ready for a bike, and you get socks and underwear. That was my life growing up. We got one good thing, and we got two or three other things that we really needed. But that was that expectation. He was looking for a bike. They were looking for a king. They were looking for a takeover. Here comes Jesus rolling into town on a donkey. Not a stallion. Not in royal garments. There was no flash. There was no pomp. There was no circumstances. There was no confetti flying. And Isaiah said hundreds of years before, there is no beauty in him. There was nothing majestic in him. There was nothing attractive in him. They were expecting something, Derek, totally different than what rode into town. But what really rode into town was humility, relatability, servanthood is what he displayed. Shouting Hosanna, listen to me, y'all. Shouting Hosanna is easy when we think Jesus is going to fix everything. It's easy to shout Hosanna when prayers are getting answered quickly. But let go, I'm not getting ahead of myself. It's easy when life is going well. And it's easy when God is meeting our expectations. But the real test is this. The real test of our shout and our praise is, will I praise him when those things are not happening in my life? Do I worship him for who he is? Or for what he can do for me? God, I come in here this morning and I worship you for who you are, not your benefits. So many times we miss out on worship because we come in, oh, I need something from you this morning, Lord. I need you to change my mind. I need you. But what if our worship was pure and we just came to him and said, God, I don't need anything. I just want to tell you who you are. I want to thank you for who you've been to me. Come on, it would change our whole atmosphere. It would change a lot of things. As the week unfolded, Jesus didn't take over the government. He didn't rally an army. He didn't incite violence. He did spend time in the temple. You know what he did in the temple? He made a few changes. He started flipping tables over because there were people cheating people. He started telling people, hey, listen, come on, we serve a, Jesus is a boss. He love and mercy, but sometimes he flipping a table over on you. How many of you just had a table flipped over in your life by Jesus? Oh, yeah, both hands in the air, don't want to show my belly, but we're good. He was flipping tables, and he was telling those people, get these weak sacrifices out of here, because you know why? Because he knew he was the main sacrifice. He knew that those things that they were doing were futile, that were just that they could no longer work. And he started predicting some hard things. Jesus was calling out and he was calling up. And what happened when he did that? Woo, it ruffled the feathers of the religious folk. Oh, who is this guy coming in our temple telling us what we're going to do? It ruffled the feathers of the religious folk. And people around couldn't see the deeper picture that he was offering salvation, freedom, and eternal life. But what they wanted immediate results. So many times we forget what God has done for us and the benefits of what God can do for us. So many times we got God to fix. I'm helping you this morning. What we've messed up for years. But God, we need you to do it overnight. We need you to give us the God pill that will take care of all of our problems, everything that we've created over our 20, 30, 40, 50 years or whatever. I'm not saying how old I am, but all those years that you created this, we want God to fix it overnight. So this happened. When he didn't say, when he didn't act the way they wanted him to do, and said the things they wanted him to say, the excitement faded. The influencers, come on, anybody see any influencers on social media? Those people are something else. Religious leaders began to stir up the crowd. There were whispers. There were lies. There were opinions. There was pressure on the crowd. And slowly, the Jesus they cheered for, they started to doubt. When your faith, write this down, when your faith is built on emotions, when it's shaped by culture, when it's shaped by the crowd, when it's not grounded in the truth, it will not be able to stand in the pressure of the crowd. People who once praised him started rejecting him. You know why? It's easier to go with the crowd than it is to take a stand. Come on. How many times have we seen people quickly influenced by what the crowd is doing and what those crowd of people are doing around them? I remember growing up, I was a pretty good kid. But I got in college and I got influenced by the wrong crowd. Before too long, you want to try this? No, you can't do that. That'll kill you. Before too long, being in the wrong crowd, I got influenced to do things that I normally wouldn't do. It's easier to follow than to take a stand. A person may know right from wrong, but surrounded by the wrong voices, surrounded by opinions, surrounded by pressure, they just want to go along and be silent. Can I tell you something? Silence looks like agreement. A lot of times when we're quiet, we feel like we're just going to be quiet. We're not going to ruffle anybody's feathers. We're not going to say anything. But a lot of times when we're silent and we don't speak out for the things that we need to speak out for, it looks like agreement. And so many times we as the church, we look like we're agreeing with the world because we're quiet. We don't say, oh, this is a good message, y'all. We don't say the things that we need to say in the culture we live in today. And because we're silent, because we're quiet, it looks like we're agreeable. Even though in the backside, in our quiet places, we're not agreeing with it. We're saying this is wrong. But what if we started standing up for what's right? We're afraid to say the things that we're in. We're just afraid. I'm guilty of it too, and so are all y'all in here too. It's not long before when you do these things, you're running with the Friday crowd. Look at Matthew 27. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes, listen, there's the influencers, that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, which of the two do you want me to release to you? And they said, Barabbas. There was a Roman custom to release a prisoner as a good gesture to appease the Jews. This was the time of year they did it. And 22, Pilate said to them, what then shall... Here's a question we all need to ask ourselves. What then shall I do with Jesus who is called the Christ? What shall I do with this Jesus that's been produced in front of me? The one I know is right. What shall I do with him? Then they all said, let him be crucified. Here's the thing. Earlier in those scriptures, Pilate had a choice. Behind every good man is a better woman. Can I get an amen on that, women? Come on, y'all ought to be going, amen, pastor, pray amen. His wife said this to him earlier. Don't have nothing to do with this man. I had a dream. And because of that dream, I don't think you should rule on this case. I think you should let him go. Pilate had a choice to listen to sound reason, to listen to a voice that was telling the truth. But you know what he did? He went with the Friday crowd. Then the governor said, why? He's still trying to justify it. In verse 23, why? What evil has he done? But they cried even the more, saying, let him be crucified. Here goes Pilate. When he saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult has raised, and he took water and he washed his hands before the multitude. He said, I am innocent. A little bit more than washing your hands. I'm innocent of the blood of the just person. You see to it. He was trying to pass. He had opportunity to make a right choice. He was trying to pass the buck to someone else. Pilate gives the crowd a choice. He said, here's the Jesus who's innocent. Or here's Barabbas, who you know is a criminal and he's guilty. Ultimately, he and they made the wrong choice. This still applies to us today. Every time we choose sin over obedience, come on, y'all. Y'all ought to be, get your hard toe shoes on. Comfort over Jesus, our way over his. It's almost like making that same decision. Let's not ask what the crowd did. Let's ask what we will do when we follow Jesus. What will we do when it costs us something? When it's unpopular? When it's uncomfortable? When it's inconvenient? Will you choose him? You got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. That was the best I can give you. You got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. We got to take a stand and believe what we're believing in. And if we don't do that, we're going to fall and we're going to join the Friday crowd. Now the cry is not save us, but kill him. Hosanna to crucify him. The issue is not just the words. Listen to me. It was the heart behind the words. Why was there such a change? Because some of those people were spectator praisers. They praised through their emotions and not their true commitment. Jesus told a parable about a seed that fell on some shallow soil. It came up quick. It was growing good. But when the sun came out and the pressures came out, it withered away. That's what happened in Jerusalem. The praise was not real and it was not rooted. It was shallow. It was surface. It was what they felt like everybody else wanted them to say. And when all the elements came, and when everything came, the crowd, it couldn't last. God is not looking for occasional praise. He's looking for committed people. Come on, he's not looking for you to praise him when you feel like it or when it's convenient for you. He's looking for you to praise him through the hard times, through the uncertain times, through the times when our faith is being shaken. He's looking for us to praise him every time and in every situation. Not just a Sunday praise. Not just an occasional one, but a daily praise. Ask yourself, is your praise consistent? Or does it rise and fall on the circumstances or the things in your life that happen? Does it rise and fall on everybody around you, on the crowd too? And here's the thing. None of this caught Jesus by surprise. He knew the crowd was going to turn on him. He knew that death was his destination. But he rode into town. He rode into Jerusalem anyway. He showed humility. He showed endurance. He showed that he knew he was going to be rejected. He knew he was going to be betrayed. And he knew he still had to go to the cross. Let me give you some good news this morning. You want some good news? The story didn't end with crucify him. Even though the crowd turned on him, they rejected him, they did not want anything to do with him, it did not end with crucify him. Many people saw the cross as the end. Jesus saw the cross as the plan. Come on, they're looking at the end goal. They're looking at, oh my gosh, he's going to be on a cross, nailed, he's going to be dead. Jesus knew the plan. He knew the mission. And he came to seek and save that which was lost, which is each one of us in here. That Sunday to Friday crowd showed human failure. But Jesus' resurrection showed his faithfulness to us, even in rejection. I love what the Bible says. While we were yet sinners. Carly, while you were yet a mess. Jason, while you were still doing dumb things. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait till you had it all together. He didn't wait till you got all cleaned up. He didn't wait till you had everything figured out. He died for you in your muck. He died for you in your sin. He died for you just the way you are. So come in and listen. If you came in here today and you feel a little dirty, guess what? Jesus died for you just the way you are right now. We're going to have an altar call. You can get cleaned up. You can get cleaned up in your seat in the back row if you want to also. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That gives me hope to know that he never gives up on us. 3 days changed everything. Not because we were faithful, not because the crowd was faithful, not because everybody following him was faithful, but because Jesus was. Even that crowd, oh, here, I love it. Even the crowd that cried, crucify him, was given an opportunity to be forgiving through the shedding of Jesus' blood and his sacrifice and his death. Even those people who were cursing him, even that thief that was next to him, he said, this day, did he get baptized before, Pastor? No, he died that day. He said, this day you're going to be with me in paradise. You're not cleaned up enough. You're not doing good enough. But this day, because you accepted me, you're going to be with me in paradise. Come on, it's the same for us. When our faith has been inconsistent, when our praise has been inconsistent, when our devotion has been shallow, there is grace. Can you say grace?
Grace.
Say it louder. Grace.
Grace.
Aren't you glad for God's grace? And if you didn't know what it is, it's unmerited, freely given favor from God. You gave me chance after chance. Come on. That song resonate with anybody else? After chance, after chance, after chance. Thank you, Jesus. Grace is the kindness of God through Jesus that he showed humanity, that even though we didn't earn it, even though we don't deserve it, he poured it out anyway. That's not for 2,000 years ago. That's for today. The same God that did that is the same God that can do it for you today, this day. He said, this day you're going to be with me in paradise. This day you can have a change. This day your life can change for the better. Not tomorrow, not next week. Jesus endured suffering, death, and he endured it for the cross and us. Endured it for the crowd and us, I'm sorry. Let's all stand if we would, please. The question comes back to us. The same Jesus that entered in Jerusalem, the same Jesus that stood before the crowd, the same Jesus that went to the cross is still standing before us today. What's our response going to be to him? Will your voice be one that praises when it's easy? Come on, that's easy. Or will it be one that follows when things get hard in life? It's not enough to shout Hosanna on Sunday. But by Friday, we've forgotten what Hosanna even means. This morning, I'm asking you, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's looking to change our hearts. He's looking to change our minds. Don't let your faith be just for a moment. Don't let your worship just be words. Don't let your hands in the air just be something you do because we ask you to do it. Let it be something you do because we are worshiping the King. Our final shout should be, Jesus is the King. And our other shout should be, Jesus, he's risen. He's no longer in the tomb. So this morning, these altars will be open. There'll be people on the prayer team on the left and the right. We'll even be up here if you need prayer. But I'm going to ask you this morning to make a commitment to move out of the Friday crowd back to the Sunday crowd. Back to the crowd that does not have a shallow praise, does not have an inconsistent praise, but a praise that says Jesus is riding into town because he's riding into this sanctuary right now. His presence is here and he can change anything. If you need Jesus to change your heart, your mind, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, he's here today. The whole reason for the season that we're in right now is because he came to be that sacrifice for us. He came to be that mediator, the one who stood between the devil and us and said, no, not guilty. You know why he's not guilty? Because I shed my blood for him. These altars are going to be open in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.